This is AM 900 CHML. Good morning. I'm Shona Thompson. This is the Smart Comfort Show. There we go. This is the Smart Comfort Show on AM 900 CHML. We're getting all of our ducks in a row. And a good thing, too, because it's kind of rainy out today. Oh,
2 days of rain so far.
Joining us on the air today, Alex Schutz with Insta Insulation. He's brought along Jason Sweeney as well. And Jason's getting married in exactly a week.
Yes, I am.
I'm amazed and really flattered that you would spend some time when you should be getting ready for your wedding in with us today.
I always have time for you.
This is the show where we're going to make your home, your living space, even your commercial work, get the most out of its heating and air conditioning dollars by doing it right and doing it smart in terms of your insulation. You can give us a call at 905-645-3221 with any questions that you might have. And that's why we've got Alex and Jason in with us today. Alex, let's talk a little bit about some of the... I have actually a story that I wanted to start with. It was over at a friend's house. She's got this gorgeous dog, beautiful, double coat. And it would go from one corner of the house, and it would get up, and it would move to another corner of the house. And then it moved to her mudroom. And I know that her mudroom doesn't have a foundation underneath it. And I said, Tammy, what's going on with your dog? And she said, well, he likes the cold spots of the house. It's like, and she said, I don't really understand why that's happening. And I said, I think I do. So please listen to the Smart Comfort Show tomorrow. Alex, what's going on in her house, do you think?
Well, certain areas of the home, when you don't distribute the heat evenly to start with, you get cold spots in your home, and you also get cold spots by areas that aren't insulated very well. So if you have a wall system with no insulation in it or it's leaking a lot of air, those spots tend to be a little bit cooler. And what's essentially happening is those areas are releasing heat. The heat's moving out of the house at a rapid pace, so those areas stay cool. I equate it to the same thing as if you're at a coffee establishment and you're sitting next to the window and you feel cold, right? That's the heat leaving your body. Your house is the same. The heat leaves the home and that creates the cold spots. There's also warm spots, right, where there's more heat, where there's more heat in a home, and I got the same thing with cats. For example, they like a little bit of the warm spots, so they just sort those things out. And you'll find places like the plenum over top of your furnace is a lot warmer than the rest of the house. You'll find dogs and cats lay on there, the ones that have the thinner coats.
Yeah.
But the dog, right, he's got double coat. It's thick, right? When we're cold, we put the coats on. That's insulation, right? It's all heat moves from hot to cold, and if you can keep the heat in, you're probably going to be more comfortable to a point where that dog's looking for cold spots now. So,
yeah. Well, and the other thing is, and Jason, maybe you can speak to this. When I went out to her mudroom, and I know that there isn't foundation underneath that, and I noticed that some of the tiles, she has ceramic tiles in there, some of them were cracked.
Yeah, just sweating and problems in the tiles come from because there's no insulation in the ground, so the cold is right there. And when you heat the room, the heat's rising to the top of the room, cold on the bottom of the room. We're just having more of a cottage effect in that kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm. And that's a signal not only to repair the cosmetic damage, but to take care of the underlying situation.
So there's lots of tiles cracked in there?
Yes. Sorry, Tammy. Yes.
So there could be some structural issues there as well.
Okay.
So somebody's been dropping something because, the tiles are, ceramic tiles are pretty very durable, right? But they're also cold. Ceramic is an insulation, right? They put them on the space shuttle, ceramic tiles, to deflect the heat. Mm-hmm. So if you put ceramic tiles down, you're literally putting something on the ground that deflects heat. So the heat does not really want to go there, so they're always cold to the touch. A porcelain tile is going to be warmer to the touch than a ceramic tile.
Okay. Also, in the last couple of weeks, since we were all together last, we've had a pretty bad windstorm. So a lot of roof damage has happened. People have been losing shingles, maybe even more severe than that. They're going to have to replace a roof. There are some things that, with regards to your insulation, that you should be checking out as well.
Absolutely. If we're going to be doing any roof work, it's good to have an inspection done inside your attic before doing the roof work. If there's work that we need to do inside the attic, we do our work first, then they can do the shingles after. If you do it the other way around, you might have to rework the same area again.
Okay, is that because of the plywood?
Well, it could be. So if they were to change the shingles and your plywood had some mold on the bottom of it, you could change the plywood and it would be fixed instead of getting mold remediation. But if you leave the plywood in place and we put the baffles in and then they do the, we do all our insulation work first and then they go to change it, they're going to rip the plywood off. There goes our baffles and all the insulation that we've done is now messed up and we have to refix.
Plus, it's also a very opportune time to address a low slope roof, right? So if you got a low pitch roof, minimal slope, the outer edge of those attics are difficult to insulate or get a better R value out there. So while the shingles are off, it may be a good idea to maybe peel off the at least the first layer of plywood, or first a strip of plywood on the outside edge, and probably the second one because the first one is your overhang, so half it's almost an overhang. Then you got 2 feet exposed, and then another 2 feet, so you got 6 feet. And at that time, you may want to, or maybe suggested to, take out the insulation over the top plates and then spray foam them because the spray foam gets a higher R value per inch, and you're going to be able to put some effective R value out in the outer plate and 4 feet in. Then we can maintain that venting there. And then blow the rest of the insulation in the attic is a cheaper alternative. But this way, at least you get the best of both worlds. You get the good foam on the outside, you get the air seal, and then you get the blown insulation in the middle.
And you hold a more even R value throughout. For the center of your attic will be the same R value as the outer edge, is what he's addressing right now. So if we just use just one type of blown cellulose or blown fiberglass, when you get to the outside edge, the sloped roof line cuts down the height, and we can't hold the same R value. With what Alex is saying, we can achieve the same R value and keep it even throughout.
Okay, and if you don't have the same R value, what kind of problems are you talking about?
Those hot and cold spots you brought up earlier.
Okay. See, it's all a big circle.
Is exactly
so
right.
So the big problem is yeah, you're having heat loss, but moisture travels with the heat. So the moisture is going at the coldest spots, and the heat migrates right, or the heat transfers through the insulation, through the building materials, and the moisture gets left behind. So that's when you find dark spots, shadowing, and even mold buildup in corners out towards the outside wall at the corner. So the top plate's already is a double plate, right? So there's almost 4 inches, 3.5 to 4 inches of wood. Right there, so this already has an
attraction point there.
Exactly. And so
on our common in our inspections when we go through your house, we like to walk into every room on your upper floor or where the roof line is, so we can watch that outer line. We're looking for shadowing because it'll point out an area in your attic that we need to address right away.
Okay, shadowing, just a discoloration?
That's the moisture being left behind.
Okay.
As it stays left behind, it will literally turn into mold. So the stages of it turning into mold starts as like a shadow, and then it becomes...
Essentially, the moisture buildup on there, and then you get dirt sticking to it. You get airborne particles sticking on there, so it gets dirty, right? And you can really point out where the wood is, especially with no insulation. So when you spray foam over top of those things, you're isolating those areas, and you're warming them up.
Yeah. Okay, this may be a dumb question, and it's just because, you know, I have no background. But if you've lost shingles, if shingles came up because we had those big winds, does that speak to there being potentially a problem with your insulation? Is that where the problem could come from, or is that just an old roof that you should have replaced anyway?
If your shingles have been blown off, that's a high wind scenario. Some attics with fiberglass insulation, your insulation could have been blown around inside the attic. Absolutely, it can be a problem, all depending on your ventilation. So just having the inspection gives all your mind at ease.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, the quick fix would be you want to put a roof on your house when you can just put a patch on there for the time being before you put the new roof on, right? Just put a patch on there, then have us come in, take a look at it, because you could just be you could be putting a $5,000, $6,000 roof on there when you really should have addressed a bunch of other issues that would have been cheaper to address now. Before the new roof went on, right? Because most people won't rip up a new roof to go to put insulation in. So now's your chance to insulate before you put the roof on.
Well, it's the whole thing. If it's out of sight, it's out of mind. You're not really thinking of those things. And when was the last time most homeowners went up into their attic?
They don't. And the attic hatch is there for inspections. At least every two years you should be looking in your attic to make sure. If you catch a problem right away, it's usually not very expensive to fix. If you catch it late, now you're talking problems, you're talking more money, maybe even remediations at that point.
And going up to the attic, I think, means a little bit more than popping the door of that hatch with a flashlight and just a once around.
No,
you really want
for a homeowner, that's perfect. Yeah. You open your hatch up with your flashlight. You want to make sure that the insulation is level, that it's not been blown around. No animal feces. Make sure that they're not burrowing any holes anywhere. And just do a general scan of the roof line and make sure you don't see any dark, shadowy areas or mold or frost. I prefer the best time to go up is midwinter when it's cold outside, because if there's a problem, it's going to present itself in big areas of frost. That's what you can look for very easily. If you find these problems yourself, give us a call. We come out, we will address the problem for you on the spot.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is probably happening at this time of year, and the last time Jason was in, we got into quite a discussion about vermin in your attic.
Absolutely.
But it's springtime. It's this time when families begin. And so those little raccoons.
Absolutely.
Are having babies.
They do. If they're having vermin, rodents, raccoons, anything like that in your attic, it is definitely, they're going to cause damage. So you definitely want to have them out. You can call any type of pest controls to remove them, and then you need to call us to fix the problems. We can do everything from removing the insulation and the feces, doing disinfectant sprays, and then reinstalling the new insulations that help deter them from coming back in.
And this is the time of year they're looking for a really comfy place, and so they're going to be tearing up your insulation.
Oh, yes. They destroy everything.
Yeah. And the other thing is, we've, you know, the last, year and a half, we've had a raccoon rabies problem in this area. So you definitely don't want to have anything like that. No vermin anywhere.
Well, it's not just taking them out. It's only half the problem. If their smells are still in there, they want to come back in. That's why the removal of the insulation and the disinfectant to deodorize gets their smells gone, so they don't try to come back in. Because all they do is they put the cages up to stop them. They'll find a new way and make a new hole somewhere else.
Yeah. You have to make them forget that there was ever any of their kind there.
And make them not comfortable if they do come in there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a couple of minutes and bring you some messages on AM900 CHML. We're coming right back with the Smart Comfort Show brought to you by Insta Insulation. Alex Schutz and Jason Sweeney is in with us today. We'll be right back on AM900 CHML. You have a couple of minutes, though, to get to the phones. 905-645-3221 for any questions you might have. You're listening to AM900 CHML. This is the Smart Comfort Show, and it's brought to you by Insta Insulation. In with us, Alex Schutz and Jason Sweeney. We were talking a lot about what you should be doing in and around your attic in terms of inspecting it. And that's one of the key areas that key steps that homeowners can take in order to really see what's going on there, especially if it's been more than 2 years since you were up there. Maybe you just put the Christmas decorations up there. You shouldn't have done that anyway.
No, you don't want to store anything in your attic.
There's only one thing that needs to go up there, and
yes,
that's insulation.
Insulation.
Exactly. But Alex, this is kind of a busy time for a lot of people who are considering doing renovations. This is when a lot of the planning is going on. What are some of the things that they should keep in mind and consider?
Probably the most important thing is to think about the things that they can't change readily moving forward afterwards, right? The countertops, the cabinets, the carpets, the laminates, the flooring, which are all sexy, right? That you look at them every day.
The cosmetic stuff.
The fun stuff, yeah. You can change those anytime, right? You can get a kitchen in a week, no problem. Right? Gut it, put it back in, not a big deal, right? But you can't replace you can't really go out and replace all the wiring in your house, because you're gutting your house to do that, essentially. And the insulation is the same, right? Do it right the first time. Doing a good insulation job pays for itself. Right, there are good products out there. Right, we don't drive the same technology cars that we did in the 50s or 60s and 70s. Right,
evolved.
We've evolved to better things. Right, well, why would we use the same kind of filter glass bats or that we did back then?
Or why would we install these very expensive furnaces and not put the right amount of insulation in, or the right type of insulation to work with that furnace properly?
That's right.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line. Jean is joining the program. Hi, Jean.
Hi.
How are you?
Good morning to all you folks.
Good morning. What's your question?
Okay, it's a little convoluted. I had a handyman come in, and because there was like bubbling on the ceiling in my bathroom, so he had a look inside the attic. He took the can I call you back? I have a call coming in.
Oh, is that why the phone dropped out? Sure, you can
call
us.
I'll call you right back.
All right.
Thanks, Ellen. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us. But that actually, talking about bathrooms, that's kind of an interesting and important thing, I think, because a lot of people do bathroom renovations as well. And, you know, taking out the tub and replacing it, that's something you don't do every day, but it's an opportunity to get into that wall.
Absolutely. Your bathroom is one of the high concentration points of the moisture. So with all that moisture in the bathroom, you want to make sure if you're doing a renovation, make sure you put a good fan in and connect it properly to a roof jack at the right point on the roof line. Don't let it go exhausting into your soffit areas. You don't want to go through a wall under the soffit area. We want to make sure you put that exhaust fan through the roof vent or through the
To expand on what Jason's saying is you want to make sure it's up on the roof line. Basically, you don't want to on the bottom of the roof line because that's where the snow accumulates and drifts typically on the edge of the roof. So you don't want to bury your roof jack, which is the exhaust vent for the bathroom. And the reason you don't put it underneath the soffit is because your fresh air intake into the attic is in the soffit area. So essentially, you're sucking the warm, moist air back into the attic where you don't want it at all.
We're trying to keep the attic as cool as possible. We don't want to be putting warm, wet air in there.
Well, and another thing is a lot of people are swapping out their tubs and making them into shower areas. And if you're getting down to, you know, the walls itself anyway, it's a good time to think about the insulation, particularly on the outside of the wall that adjoins to the outside of your
house. We do a tremendous amount of bathrooms. Bathroom renovations are very rare people I deal with don't use spray foam to insulate those walls because you're really controlling the moisture. Good R value means the moisture is not penetrating or not going towards that wall. The lady that was on the phone there with their moisture issue.
Jean?
Yeah, Jean.
She's back on
the
line. Just like we had planned it. Hi, Jean. How are you?
Hi.
Okay,
so he went up on the roof, the handyman, and he did some caulking, he said, around the things that are on the roof, and said, I used to have geese that used to love every year to come and fly and sit on my roof. He said that the looked like the shingles needed replacing in spots, maybe from the geese, right? So, but I wasn't educated enough to ask him if there was a pipe going from the bathroom to the outside.
Do you have a bathroom fan?
I have a vent there, yeah, but I didn't know that I should ask him, does the pipe go straight to the outside of the house, right? Or did it just go vent into the attic, right?
Yeah, you should see it on the roof line if you're able
So the problem is I still have bubbling on the roof and the ceiling again in the bathroom. And that means I have to get someone else in, right, to have a look?
You should have someone definitely come in and take
a
look
can't
at
hear
it.
You.
What's probably happening? Is that
I
bubbling?
Can't hear you.
Is that bubbling close to the bathroom fan you have? So what happens is maybe that the fan unit inside the attic, when they put it in, they didn't put the insulation back up tight around the fan unit, and there's a cold air draft right there, and that cold spot on the drywall ceiling is attracting the moisture higher in that area. So maybe that somebody just needs to go back up in your attic and reassess where the insulation's lying.
Okay.
And we can do that.
Okay. So that's what I thought. I need to get someone to come back in.
Absolutely.
You need somebody who knows how to do the job properly to come in.
Yeah.
Well, it could be a combination of things, and Jason's totally on the right track. Could be that the hose leading up the that's venting is not insulated, so it's going to condense on the inside of the hose.
Or it doesn't have a roof jack and the air's back pressure.
Exactly. So there's a bunch of things that could be happening. They all sound like they're related to insulation and maybe ventilation, but most likely it's an insulation issue and probably nothing to do with the geese that were on the roof.
The other thing I've seen is they put the hose going to the soffit area and the cold air coming back through the hose. It was under the insulation and was leaving a cold draft right onto the drywall.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk about vermiculite. So my brother went and had a look up in the attic, and he grabbed some samples of some stuff, little pieces of things, mm-hmm. and he put them in a bag, and he took them to someone to have them evaluate it. And they supposedly said it wasn't vermiculite. So what does vermiculite look like?
Well, there's many different types of it.
Like pieces of foam?
Yes.
Yes, or more like burnt wood that's white.
Oh, okay.
It's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. So you get the charring of wood, it's black, and then if you get that char and you peel the char off a burnt piece of wood and then make little things out of it and throw some silver and white paint on it, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my uncle next door has it in his, and he built after we built our house, but so we were kind of concerned that, you know, maybe we had it, but they told us that we don't.
How old is your house?
Since 1968. So
you built the house in 1968?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I pushed a wheelbarrow and I was a young child then, so it was fun.
Well, if you'd like us to take a look at it, leave your number with Jerry.
Yep.
And we'll gladly come and take a look at it and see if we can help you with that problem.
It's wonderful. I live in the country, so I have a lot of vermin around. I just saw 5 deer across the street.
Well, they're not vermin.
And I don't think they're going to be a problem in your attic, which is good. But, Gene, you know what? I'm going to put you on hold, and Jerry's going to take your information, okay?
Please. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling and calling back. Really appreciate it. But that is interesting, because we haven't even talked about vermiculite.
No, we don't talk a lot about it. I mean, vermiculite, we can deal with it. We have different ways we can deal with it. First thing we do is we get tested, take multiple samples from different areas in the attic, and they get it tested for asbestos, right? Vermiculite's very poor insulation, okay?
Very poor.
So it's open cell insulation with large cells. So the draft goes right through it. Even when you bulk it up, it's still not very effective. So most vermiculite, even if it doesn't have asbestos in it, will need to be, should be removed. And those attics that are from the 60s, they should be air sealed. There's no doubt, you know, we're going to lose 40 to 45% of our heat loss due to air infiltration, exfiltration. Vermiculite does not stop any air whatsoever.
So was vermiculite used just because of the asbestos and for fire retardant?
No, it was used because it was an insulator. It does have insulative properties, right? And it was cheap. And when they were mining, they could just—it's essentially a byproduct, and use it for insulation and for.
It was an
soil.
Easy way to get rid of a byproduct.
Okay.
Sell it as insulation.
Yeah. Which you don't want to do. No.
And no. So if it gets tested and it has asbestos in it, then you need to take proper. Well, you got to decide whether or not to remove it or not.
Yeah.
It's getting difficult to sell a house with asbestos in it, and there's many companies out there that can do a good job of removing the asbestos.
And you probably don't want to live in a house with asbestos in it anyway.
Well, if you leave it alone, supposedly it doesn't hurt you.
Yes.
If you leave it alone.
But
as soon as you're going to have type of renovations done, or you have a wire, you need someone to go up there into your attic and fix your wire, now they're disturbing it. And these people aren't going to want to go into your attic and do work or disturb it without you having a paper saying you've tested it. So all around the way, it's a good reason to get it tested, get it checked, and figure out if you're removing it or leaving it in.
Mm-hmm. But getting back to custom builds, because we sort of got off on a tangent a bit, because Gene was good enough to call, but we were talking about the kitchens and your bathroom, and if you're going to be doing all of this work anyway, and again, if you're going to be taking out a tub and putting in a shower, or replacing the tub, or, you know, taking those cabinets out and you're getting down to the wall anyway, it's a really good idea to think about what's on the other side of that wall, because that really protects all of your investment, correct?
Correct.
Yes, the cabinet one's a good one. We've got a new display going in at a new facility in Brantford called Salt and Pepper Design Showroom. Awesome place. We have a display going in, and Bruce brought it to my attention. He said, Alex, we should put an emphasis on the cabinets. And I said, what do you mean? And you know what? I take it for granted. I know the cabinet. When you open your cabinet doors or the kitchen cabinets, that when you pull your plates out, they're fairly cold if they're on an outside wall. But our spray foam houses don't have that problem, right? Even though the heat's not getting into those cabinets, there's enough getting in there, and we've stopped essentially heat from escaping out the outside wall, that these outside cabinets are warmer than, you know, the old fiberglass insulation backing cabinets or backing walls for these cabinets. So, you know, spray foam does add that comfort level with warmer plates as well.
So if you want to protect great grandma's china,
or if you just want to eat off a warm dish.
Or a dish. Hey, just a dish that's not cold.
Exactly.
Or worse, cracked and it comes apart in your hand. That's a pretty good indicator that you've got a problem that you've got to take care of.
But when you're doing a new house, to know that you want to put spray foam behind your cabinets should be an instant thought. Even if you're not spray foaming the rest of your house, there are areas where you highly benefit to put your spray foam in. Your belts, your rim joists, behind cabinets, your basement, because you shouldn't use anything but spray foam in your basement, and your garage ceilings when you have a room over top. These areas you should be doing instantly when you have a new house. Then when you're doing this much already, it's not a big difference to add a little bit more to do the exterior walls as well.
And Alex, further to what you were saying off the top, when you're getting those plans done and you're taking a look at all the stuff that's really nice and fancy, the cosmetic stuff, you know, the pretty stuff, it's a good time to really think about what's behind that, especially if you're doing renovating a basement as well.
For sure. The spray foaming and properly insulating a home will give you returns of, you know, 40-45%, right? It's almost half. You know, it doesn't take long to pay for the difference, right? A typical spray foam house, depending on how many vaulted ceilings there are or how difficult the job is, but the average house is 2.5 times the price of regular fiberglass filter bats, right?
Yeah, that's 2.5 times the price of just buying the bat. You still have to install it after that.
Well, that's it. I figured it with installation, because it's not very difficult. And the average, a lot of homeowners, some of them will do it themselves, which, you know, I'd even if you use fiberglass, you should have a professional install it, because they do a much better job. And then a lot of people decided to use Roxel, right?
Which is another product that's even harder to install.
That's a very difficult product to install. Mind you, if you install it perfectly, it's probably better than fiberglass. But who can install it perfectly, especially with the wiring?
Absolutely.
A lot of different things to consider. And I think you've said before, fiberglass insulation always fails? Eventually?
Well, eventually it'll fail, yes. The house is a system, right? Heat moves from hot to cold. Heat's moving to the weakest link. With fiberglass house, everything's weak. So everything's releasing heat, right? That's why, you know, that's why when you spray foam the house, you save so much money. And so you're saving so much energy. You have so much more comfort, right? And, oh, don't get me started with the heat, right? Because I'm thinking air conditioning already. Now I'm thinking about Kathleen Wynne and decreasing the electricity.
Okay, we have 2 minutes to the commercial break. If you want to talk about that, we'll do it after the break.
Okay, all right. Well, just because, you know what? Insulation is not just good for keeping the heat in. It's also good for keeping the heat out.
Yeah, but when you're also using fiberglass insulations, you need the vapor barrier, you need an air barrier. And what side does the vapor barrier go on, Alex?
It's supposed to go on the warm side.
And what side is that?
That's the inside in the wintertime and
the outside in the summertime.
Oh, so you should flip it.
So now we have to flip our walls around to make this product work properly.
We have an old building code that doesn't meet our growing needs, right? When I started the insulation business 25 years ago, not everybody had central air, right? Big screen TV, central air, and hot tubs. This is what I equated to, right? When you had a hot tub 25 years ago, that was a big deal, right? Yeah. Your big screen TV, that was a big deal.
Big deal.
Right? Central air. Oh, my God, you have central air? A lot of houses have central air now, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not really, but that we've changed the way we live, right? We start cooling at the end of April, and we start heating at the end of September, right? So we're flipping. We're just, you know, there's not much of a season there where we don't have to use our HVACs.
Yeah,
one of the systems. So
yeah, exactly. We're going to take a couple of minutes and present you some messages on AM 900 CHML. The phone lines are open, 905-645-3221. Maybe you're thinking about a renovation. Maybe you're just starting that planning. This is one of the things you should do. Pick up the phone, give Alex and give Jason a call. We'll be right back on AM 900 CHML. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Smart Comfort Show on AM 900 CHML. It is brought to you by Insta Insulation, and you can reach them in Hamilton, certainly, at 905-383-5686 or anywhere in Southern Ontario at 1-800-668-0311, and their website is instainsulation.com. And I mentioned anywhere in Southern Ontario because you guys are everywhere. I see your trucks and Insta Insulation.
Yeah, we definitely get around. We focus mostly in the GTA, but we travel.
So we trucks right from London to Scarborough. That's what we say. And then we go about an hour north off the major corridors. That's kind of our focus area.
And down into Niagara as well.
And Niagara for sure. That includes Niagara, yeah. I love working in the Niagara region.
And Niagara region loves you being there. We were talking a little bit in the break about, again, another one of my little questions. Can you have too much insulation? Can you over-insulate?
Absolutely. Every attic has a max height you can go to. And I'm not talking about max R value. I'm talking about max height of insulation. So if you're blowing too much in the center, we can't achieve the R value in the outer edge unless we're putting spray foam in. And if you have a company coming in telling you, I'm going to blow in R60 or I'm going to blow R70 or whatever they're trying to blow in, if your attic can't fit that, they shouldn't be doing it.
What are some of the problems that you'll see if you're over-insulated?
When you over-insulate, you get... over-insulating typically means you're under-ventilating.
Under-ventilating in the attic, and you're going to have those spotting areas showing up on the outer edges in the house. Perfect examples, a friend of mine in London had a company come in and over-insulate her attic, and her bungalow with the low sloped roof line ended up growing mold along the whole edge of her house, and the corners grew out with mold on the corners, and it was a drastic fix.
Yeah. So by over-insulating the middle of your attic means you're under-insulating the outside edge. Therefore, that moisture we talked about earlier is going towards that outside edge, and it's saturating the drywall, and then the mold starts to grow there.
Yeah, it's got a lovely place to grow.
So that's over-insulating. So the attic, you know, if you see an attic with an R12 in it across the whole plane, you're not going to have any problems because the heat is evenly going out the building, so there's moisture's not collecting in one area. As soon as you start increasing the R value, and there's a point where the delta is too great, right? Where the outside edge doesn't have enough insulation, there's too much in the middle. So you got to know what that is. There's ways to overcome this, and that's by using products like spray foam, or spray foam. I don't know of another product that we use that would fix that problem. Spray foam in the outside edge to increase the R value and the effective R value, right? Because spray foam is going to function differently than blown insulation, right? Blown cellulose or fiberglass or
you won't have any wind washing with spray foam.
But it'll maintain its R value, right? It's not affected by
wind washing.
Oh, so when the air blows through the open cell type of material, it's still the temperature that it blew through it. So if it's cold air and it's blowing through the insulation, it's delivering cold air to the bottom side of the insulation. So with spray foam, there is no air movement through it, so we don't have any type of wind washing.
Okay, so and again, that'll create a change in temperatures, and that'll create a...
Absolutely. So if you had a blown fiberglass insulation in your attic, and we are creating venting from the soffit into the attic space, that air movement, if it isn't directed over the insulation properly, not only will it blow the insulation around, it will actually put the cold air through the insulation to the surface on the bottom. If you use a cellulose, which is a heavier insulation, and it settles down, compresses a little bit, it's more resilient to stopping wind washing. And then with the spray foam itself, it is actually 100% it stopped. So when we use our Cadillac system where we put the spray foam into the attic as a 2 inches on the bottom and seal up a little thicker on the outer edges to get that R value and then blow cellulose on top, we actually have a perfect system where you have zero wind washing.
And it sounds like the spray foam, that'll get into all the little nooks and crannies. And
yeah, it makes the perfect air seal and moisture seal.
Yeah, okay. So in an attic, you have the attic deck, which is typically drywall, and right, and but you have penetrations in there. You have plumbing penetrations, and more even so, you have electrical penetrations. Those penetrations go up through the inside walls, and that's where, and outside walls as well. A lot of inside walls that don't get sealed properly, that when you spray foam the whole attic deck, you're sealing it 100%, right? Including we have techniques that go over pot lights, whether they be halogens or LEDs, right? We have techniques to air seal them properly and make sure that they're fire safe as well.
Well, and, you know, there are a lot of different vintages of homes out there. So, you know, you can maybe get the attic taken care of, but what about those walls?
Walls are a tricky situation. In your house, I like to stick with, if you're living in your home and you're having issues, have us come out and actually do an evaluation. Let me troubleshoot. Let me walk around and try to find where your problem area is. You tell me I'm cold in this room, Jason. I will look in that room and I'll find out why. Typically speaking, it's not usually the wall that's making your problem. Your basement is very important. Your rim joists are very important. The attic is very important. Aside from those things, the other areas is where air can be filtrating into the house. So if you have like leaking around windows or in your baseboards and things like that, these areas will cause you issues. If you're doing a renovation where you're already opening the drywall, absolutely, it's a good time to put spray foam in. But to call us to say, we need to insulate this wall here, and you're not planning a renovation, you're not going to be happy with the result on the answer on that.
And if you do that, it'll save you money in the long run.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to take another short break. We'll be right back. One more segment on the show. Your last chance to give us a call at 905-645-3221 for that direct contact with Alex and Jason from Insta Insulation. But you can always reach them by calling 905-383-5686 or 1-800-668-0311. Their website is instainsulation.com. Back in a couple of minutes on AM 900 CHML. This is AM 900 CHML. You're listening to the Smart Comfort Show. It is brought to you by Insta Insulation. You can reach them at 905-383-5686 or 1-800-668-0311. And really anywhere from what? London to Scarborough, you said?
Yeah, on a daily basis. We go to Pickering and Oshawa, and we go further north and further west too. But that's primarily the areas we service.
Where there is a cold spot.
Where they want to be comfortable.
Absolutely. Let's talk for a second about savings, because, you know, you were saying in one of the earlier segments that, you know, we've got that season when we put the heater on and it almost abuts right up next to when you want air conditioning to go on. And if you're running all of that and you don't have the right kind of insulation, you're paying more than you should.
Well, most people don't know is actually it costs us more to cool our house than to heat our house. So when we're running...
Well, they know that when the bill comes in.
They know it when the bill comes in. But they don't think about how important the insulation is to help them cool their house. If your attic is hot and your insulation is not good, that heat from inside the attic is going to push through the insulation and heat the house. And now you're fighting that heat with your AC running nonstop to try to fight that heat. We put the better insulation in the attic, and going with the Cadillac system that we offer, you're actually going to stop 90% of that heat from pushing through. And you're going to make a much easier area for air conditioning working.
But yeah. What kind of savings are we talking about?
A typically spray foamed house in combination with the under slab insulations is going to save upwards of 45 to 50% on your energy bills, and that includes your hydro, or
wow,
your electricity, right? It's a big significant savings, right? So 4 to 5 year payback on a typical house like that, 4 to 5 years, and after that, you're making money. Nothing in your house is going to pay like insulation does. There's nothing in your home that will pay for itself. Insulation is the only thing that will pay for itself.
And you and your family are comfortable.
Very much. Very much so.
I can't. There's no downside.
None.
There isn't.
No. The problem is the initial sticker shock, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more expensive. Yes, it is going to be more expensive, right? But why would you buy a Tesla as opposed to a Focus, you know what I mean? Or a Fusion, right? I mean, it may be better, but that's what you want, right? That's you feel good about it. Insulation is not so sexy, right? So it's, but savings are, I think,
yeah,
right?
Really?
They should be, right?
Saving money in your bank account.
You're bragging, like, my bill's like, how much are you paying? Oh, I'm paying $500 a month. Oh, I only pay $200, right?
Yeah.
That's a significant savings, right? So, you know, people are getting it. We've been around for 25 years. There's a lot of spray foam out there now, and I think we're a big part of that, promoting insulating and doing it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
Now, that's the second time you've said, do it right.
Yeah, do it right.
And that's a slogan from a friend of yours.
Yes, it is. Mike Holmes' slogan.
Yep. But, and he uses you. I mean, you've been in his shows.
10 years. We installed the insulation for him on numerous shows of his, and it was great. It was a great working relationship we had with him, and he's a big proponent of doing it right, and spray foam obviously is doing it right. But I wish, you know what bothers me, Shona, is I tell you, you know, pushing the debt to the younger generations. And I, you know what, no, you can do that, right? But at the same time, why don't we change these building codes so we get better insulation systems in homes so we save money? So I was just the other day, I was reading the new SB12 and looking at the standards, and there's always a little loophole in there where you can.
What's an SB12?
That's the standards for insulation. Okay. for buildings, SB12 for residential buildings, and there's a loophole, and that's that first package they have in there, right? Everything is continuous insulation except for one. Well, guess what builders are going to use?
The first one,
the cheap one, right?
Always.
So this is what Kathleen Wynn does. She said, no, you know what? I'm here to save you. First, I'm going to put commercials on there that we got to pay for this hydro. Now they're running commercials, right, to say, oh, I'm such a good person, I'm reducing your rates. Why we have to increase our rates? Because you have poor green energy program, which was brutally implemented, was poorly thought out, right? Future generations are going to pay for this. But why don't we do, like, we know it's going to cost, you know, the Generation X or whatever they call them, the Generation Screwed, I call them, right? Why don't we increase the building codes so that we, with proper insulations, better building systems, so that our future generations don't have to use as much electricity, right? Why don't we do that? We have the capability. They've started it off, but you know what? Lobby, right? The home builders, no, we can't do this, right? We need to have a system where it's cheap and we can flip houses at a really quick rate, and then that makes them happy, right? They don't think, nobody thinks about our future generations. Politicians don't, nobody. It's a little personal beef I have, right? You say, you know what? We know we're screwing our future generations. Well, and we can on the other side do something for them, and we're not doing it.
Yeah, and on that note, that's where we're going to leave things. Give you a little something to think about. But if you want some more information, you can always check out the website for Insta Insulation. It is instainsulation.com, or give them a call at 1-800-668-0311 or 905-383-5686. We're going to be back with the next edition of the Smart Comfort Show on April 22nd. Jason Sweeney, Alex Schutz, thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you in a month's time.